what it is that I was supposed to be called for the next 2 years of my life, they bestowed me with the name Pudgy. That is a true story. It stuck. I had to come down to the front here and just have a moment where I laid down my nickname Envy, where I didn't get Eagle or Lion, Tiger. No, I get Pudgy. Man, it's been a few years since we've been together. There have been some highs and lows for everybody. I have just missed this so much. Some of you are here for the first time and you're getting a taste for it already, but for those of you who have been here for years, gosh, the Holy Spirit, there's something beautiful about this place. There's something, this is one of the few sacred spaces that I've ever been to, where this place is so soaked in prayer, so soaked in the prophetic, so soaked in past sins being washed away, that there is something special here. And man, I just encourage you to soak it in while you're here. This network and this particular camp has been such a gift to me and my family. I'm just so thankful. And I know that the apostolic team hummed and hawed, you know, do we start it again? Do we start it with 250 people when we used to be 400? But man, how many of you are thankful for the investment that LifeLinks is making in us? I am. Golly. Man. You know, lots has happened in my family in the last 3 years. My daughter Eve is now 15. She has sprouted 12 inches in 3 years. She is the tallest in the family now. She is so much fun. She is unfortunately gotten a little bit of my theater bug. She stage managed her first year in high school. She stage managed the high school musical. She got equal parts of my creative flair and bossiness, and so it works out perfect as a stage manager. She totally rocked it. My son Alec graduated last year, spent 6 months on a YWAM mission. Spent 3 of those months ministering and evangelizing tribes, 26-hour boat ride up the Amazon River, the Western Amazon, outside of Peru, or just inside of Peru. Some tribes hadn't been reached in over 3 years by somebody from outside. 3 years. Due to COVID and other things going on, it was just a breath of fresh air that these kids brought in there. It was kind of, I don't know any of you parents in here who have had to experience this, but it was a little sad and wonderful sending him off into adulthood. I've been kind of nostalgic being back here. I don't know how many of you have been. We're looking through past, you know, pictures of past camps, pictures of some of the things that are going on up here, and so many different kind of like feelings. Nostalgia is kind of a weird one for us kind of guys. I mean, it's a little bit squishy and a little bit sad and a little bit lovely all at once. We don't necessarily know how to process it all of the time. It's so cool, just all that God has done. I'm so very grateful. As I come back here, I'm so very grateful. As I even look around this space, I'm so very grateful for some people and the impact that they've had on our lives. Times where we were standing in line at the cafeteria and somebody gave a word at just the right time. Times where we're floating down the river. Or times where we're waiting in line somewhere. And it's just a conversation that's been had. I'm just so thankful and grateful for God and this space. We've had some key moments here, my wife and I. In 2008, my wife and I decided to enter into senior ministry while here. My son was first baptized in the Holy Spirit here. My daughter saw her first miracle while praying for somebody here. I didn't quit the ministry in 2012 when I came here. I was planning to, honestly. And then I spent some time at this altar and people ministered to me and prayed for me and I cried and the Holy Spirit fell. I was ministered to. 8 years ago, 1 week before coming to this camp, I was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. And I remember going and getting the diagnosis and then going, well, are we going to camp? And I'm like, of course we're going to camp. I had to go back for a meeting with the oncologist, actually. And the oncologist said, okay, we're going to do this, 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 and this. And it's going to involve chemo, it's going to involve radiation, it's going to involve a surgery. You've got 18 tumors all over your body. The largest one, about the size of your fist, is eating into your spinal cord. And then we're like, okay, let's go back to camp. Some of you know that I was completely healed 2 months later. Completely healed. I don't have time to go into that story, but it is a story worth hearing. You should ask me about it. Supernatural, crazy, weird thing that happened. I'm so thankful for what it is that has happened in this place. I also have the opportunity to help others stay in ministry here, which is really cool now. I have the opportunity to see others move into ministry here now. It is such a weird thing to go from a place where I'm like, I don't want to be in ministry. I want to quit ministry. Hey, you should go into ministry. It's a weird thing. Also, looking at the photos, I was amazed at how far photography has come in the last 15 to 25 years. From aspect ratio to quality to clarity to color matching. It's like amazing. Dave takes photos and puts them up there, and it's like, that's what it is that people look like. So cool. You know, we take pictures with our phones now, and what you see is what it is that you get on there. And I've been really chewing into this idea of what you see is what you get lately, that what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. I've been praying into this phrase and how it applies to our lives today, and there's a sense, a real sense that what it is that you see, that what it is that your perspective is, what it is that God might show you here in this place, may be something that you get in the future. I hope you're here to see what it is that God wants to reveal to you, because what you see is what you get. And there is a rising up of hope. There is a rising up of faith. There is a rising up of truth. There is a rising up of gifting that is going to be coming to some people in here. This is a place where you come in order to commune with the Lord, as we talked about this morning, and get directions from the Lord, and get a vision from the Lord. Make sure that you're here with that perspective in mind. All of the other things that we do are fabulous. The relational aspects, the fun aspects are great. Man, be here to see something from the Lord. Do you guys remember the Rorschach tests? Those ink blots that they slap on a page, and then the therapist shows it to you, and you're supposed to say what it is that you see, right? Oh, I see a butterfly. Oh, I see a pepperoni pizza. I see a lot of pepperoni pizzas in the Rorschach tests. You know, but what it is that you see, you know, tells the analyst something about your personality or something about your motivation, something about your emotional condition. As what it is that you see in those things actually tells that person a little bit of something about who it is that you are, at least. That's what they believe. The same can be said for the way that we look at the events that have taken place in our lives. That our perspective and how it is that we see the things that have happened in our lives in the past, or the things that are happening in our lives right now, or the things that are happening in the future, how it is that we see them tells us a little bit something about what it is that's going on inside of our heart. And for this reason, what you see is what you get. That You know, I don't know how many of you loved the COVID season. Any of you in here? Some of you? It's fair. Adam, I hate you. I did not do well during COVID. I was not a great leader during COVID. I was a big giant baby during COVID. I really struggled. I love people. And to take away that from me, a little bit of me was dying inside daily. And I had to take my first ever sabbatical. I was supposed to be planning it for early 2020. That didn't work out, so I ended up taking it 2 years later. Anyways, I had been leading for 14 years, and I just began to get a little bit edgy, a little bit stale, a little bit thin. I was feeling a little tired. I was feeling a little broken inside. Like for most of you, not getting together with others was hard. It was wearisome. It was draining. It was difficult. I began to minister from a place of self rather than a place of health in the Holy Spirit. We in Cranbrook at one point went 14 months without gathering together as a large group. I think I had to pretend for a season that I was okay when I wasn't, and that was really hard for me because of one of my most important things is to be authentic. And yet I was seeing things with such a negative bent, and I knew that it wasn't God's truth or his best for me. Sabbatical was terrible for me. I hate them. Some people love them. Kevin, like, is relishing. He's, like, making art and doing amazing things, and I just suck at sabbatical, it turns out. For 2 months, I just basically pouted. It was awful. Jody and the kids were like, we don't like sabbatical, Dad. We don't like you. This guy's terrible. I had the worst case of ministry withdrawal jonesing for 2 months. I guess I'd let my identity become mixed up with who it is or what it is that I was doing rather than who it is that Christ was in me. And so I had to stop doing anything. God just basically shut me down for 2 months until I would actually repent. Look at my character and put my identity in the right place again. Rebuild the foundation. And it was also wonderful because the last 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit and my wife ministered to me in such a way that I began to see with hope again. Began to see with grace again. Began to let light flood into my life again. We have to see things with the right perspective. And if we are living our life with a skewed perspective, man, it is time to repent, or it is time to let God heal it. It's time to hope again. Throughout the Bible, we come across countless references to having one's eyes opened or seeing through the eyes of faith. I love what it is that Jesus said. He said, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Basically, Jesus is saying, what you see is what you'll get. If you could see accurately all that God was doing in your life around you, if you could see with his perspective what was going on in the bigger picture, what was going on in the bigger picture of your life, man, your life would be filled with light. But if you can't see the light, if you are struggling to see what God is doing, man, there is such a darkness and ultimately despair. That what you see, that is your perspective, determines what it is sometimes that your life becomes. And with this in mind tonight, I want to ask three questions. Any of you who have spent any time with me know that I love to ask questions. It's kind of what it is that I do. And so tonight there may be some pausing after I ask a question, and you can maybe take notes in your phone or write a few things down if you're okay with that kind of thing. But I had to ask these questions of myself during my time off, and misery loves company, and so I thought I would just share that with all of you this evening.
You're welcome. I love you.
I think these questions were a little bit, for me, like a little bit of a Rorschach test. The first question is, what do you see in the past? It's a simple question. When you think about your past, what are the things that come to mind? What do you remember? As you think back on your past, what is it that you remember? You know, as we've all gotten together for conversations, which is really cool, lots of people ask you the questions, oh, what's your last 3 years been like? What are the things that you choose to share about the last 3 years? I think all of us, if we were to make a list of all of the highlights of our life or all of the lowlights of our life, maybe a list of 10 lowlights, right? 10 bad things that have happened in the past, mistakes our parents made or mistakes we made as children or teens or young adults or as employees or students or when we were parents, a time when we were deceived. We could probably come up with a list of 10 things, right? From our past, our blunders, our failures, times where we were treated unfairly. We could probably think of 10 negative things pretty quickly, write that list down. Heck, we could probably think of 10 negative things that happened during COVID for us in about 3 seconds. Yes? Anybody else with me on that? Just two of you. The rest of you? Okay. Way to go. You're healed. But I think we could probably also make a list of our 10 highlights. The 10 things that we are just have celebrated, the 10 healings that God has placed in our life, the 10 miraculous moments where God has done something radical, the 10 highlights, the moments our children were born, victories, blessings, joyful events. Making this list would probably be easy as well. Now, both lists are accurate. There's absolutely no question about it. But which list do you review most? And which list do you review most often? Right now, have you been thinking about all of the negative things that have gone wrong? The failures, the miscalculations? Or are you currently celebrating all of the things of the past? What list currently dominates your life? Is there somebody here who used to hunt black bear? Is there anybody in here who has ever hunted black bear? Okay. I was the guy who ran into the black bear. So 11:30 last night, we're talking, a few of us, and it's time to go to bed. And so Dee is like, okay, I'm going to the bathroom. Joel, if you hear me screaming, it's because the black bear came and got me. You need to run over really quickly and kick it. I won't tell you where she said to kick it. And we're like, okay, I'm going to bed. I'm like, where are the youth anyways? We should go and, I should go find my daughter. It's 11:45. We should get going to bed. I start walking down the road over here. And I'm about 75 feet from that door, maybe a little closer than I am now, to that door over there. And I'm like, ah, why is somebody digging in the garbage? And there's about a 32-inch boar digging in the garbage, big male black bear. And I'm like, Dee, there is a black bear. And Joel's like, yeah, okay, Frank, yeah, whatever. Joel knows me well enough to know that I probably would joke about the fact that I saw a black bear. And then Dee walks out of the bathroom. She's like, what? And she's like, oh. She runs off. I just stay there and I'm like, oh God, what are you up to with this? I say, hey bear. He starts, that's what you do. You talk to bears. Everybody knows. You watch the YouTube videos. You just talk to the bear, right? Hey bear. He kind of like lifts his head up, looks at me, goes back down. I feel like for a season, you were letting the black bear dig in the garbage of your mind a little bit and focus on a few things that maybe you didn't need them to focus on. And just bringing up one or two things. And you know they're the garbage pieces of your mind. You know they're things that you don't need to go there. But he's just been chewing around in it a little bit. I really do believe that you need to do what it is that I did next, which was just simply, go away, bear. That was it. He just kind of like paused a little bit, started walking across the side of the auditorium, and then headed out. When those thoughts are coming into your head, when the bear begins to start digging into the garbage thoughts, just go away, bear. That's it. There is an authority that we have over our thoughts as well that sometimes I think we forget at times. I don't know if you guys forget that. We feel like we're beholden to our thoughts. We feel like we struggle with our thoughts. There's nothing we can do. I just think that way. No. Go away, bear. Like, man, go away. I think sometimes we forget some of those verses that are out there, and we tend to just allow the enemy to dig around in our mind a little bit, thumb through the garbage of the past. No. I'm going to skip that. Sometimes we tend to focus on our past failures and our disappointments, on how it is that others have let us down, and we try to justify us thinking about it by saying things like, well, I'm just trying to figure out a way to do better next time. But really, if we're honest, sometimes we bask in our bitterness or take refuge in our resentment just a little too often. And it's garbage. We relive those hurts, the pain that was caused or the pain that we endured until sometimes we begin to look back on our lives and that's all we begin to ever see are the hurts and the failures and the disappointments and the places we should have gone differently and I should have. You know, Jesus tells us when we look at the past, if we look at the past and all we see is our resentment or our regret, that our life will be filled with darkness rather than light. And we know better. We know that how God wants us to see the past, right? We know that he wants to see it through the eyes of mercy, through the eyes of grace, to celebrate the good and forgive and release the negative. Yeah, we all have a past that we have to reckon with. But remember, it's also true that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And we often share this verse at baptism. But it is a verse for each and every one of us, each and every day. That each and every day, we're called to pick up our cross and follow him. That means we crucify the old man of yesterday, and we live in Christ, through Christ today, brand new. That baptism of repentance is something we get to walk in every single day. Sure, you have regrets. Sure, who doesn't? But let's remember instead that we have been forgiven, that God has forgiven our sins and will remember them no more. Why do we have to hash them out then? When you look at the past, see it through the eyes of grace. Get God's perspective. Forgive as we ourselves have been forgiven. Instead, see how God has carried us through the muck and the mire to where we are today. There are some of you who are just so living in your past mistakes, your one mistake, your big regret. Man, God wants to release that from somebody today. Just claim it. I am a new creation. God can make me brand new. Today, rather than remembering everything that went wrong, think back on some of the good. As King David said, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. How many of you have your list of miracles that God has done in your life up on the fridge? No, on your bed frame. Do you have them there? Is it the first note that's clipped to the top of your note so that it comes up in each and every time? Do you have? Man. Remember. Count your blessings. There's a reason we say count your blessings. Count them. I don't know. I want to encourage you while you're here at camp. Maybe you need to make a list. Maybe you just need to spend some time, you and God. Yeah, step away from everybody else. Find a quiet corner and make a list with the Holy Spirit of all of the miracles that he's done in your life, of all of the good things that he's done in your life. I'm not joking about that. Take a minute. Send the kids away. I need to go and spend some time with the Holy Spirit. He's got a list for me. What you choose to remember determines your outlook today and into the future. Remember the times of healing, the times of blessing. Remember the gifts. Remember when you were saved. Remember the past in the most empowering way and dwell on it. Here's the second question. What do you see in the future? What is it that you see in the future? Even as you think about the future, what is it that is brought up inside of you? Are you more excited about the future than you are the past? Are you living with expectancy of what it is that God is going to do? Or have you just become maybe just a slightly little bit jaded, a little bit cynical, a little bit frustrated, a little bit disappointed? Man, the Holy Spirit just wants to tell some people again what it is that it says in the Psalms, that you are to abound in hope. Abound in hope. It's time to bound again. And then abound in hope. There's something that God wants to stir up in you. Bring back some dreams from the past that you died, that died through COVID. It's time to abound in hope again. How do you look at the future? Now, sometimes it's natural to look ahead, and you've met these people. You talk to them all once again, every once in a while, as they talk about the future. And, you know, I see there's nothing but trouble coming. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. We're heading down a dark road. Right? I don't know why I went into an American accent there. I apologize. Makes sense. Some of my end of days friends have just been going off though, right? They revel in times like these, right? They see nothing but failure in the making. What is it that you see? I love the way Nathan put it this morning, right? Aren't we in one of the most amazing opportunities right now? Where there is so, the world so desperately needs a light. That what is in you is so desperately needed in somebody else, that the Holy Spirit has allowed this thing to get to a place where the darkness is so clear. So that the light in you might brighten up somebody else's world. What a gift we have to live in this world right now. Man, sure there's challenges that lie before us. Sure. But man, the opportunity is so much more. Winston Churchill put it this way: a pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity, an optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. The question is, what do you see? What do you believe about tomorrow? What do you believe about the days ahead? Switch optimism out for hope. How are you currently hoping into the future? The fact is that for some people, you know, they're just so wrapped up in a negative kind of future thinking that what it is that they see inside is what it is that they're going to get. That's not what it is that God has for you. I want to invite up, grab the mic on your way up to Justin. Justin Rivas up. He's got 10 minutes. Somebody keep him to it. To share just a little bit, because I believe that God wants somebody to look into, by looking into the past, to look into the future again. Let's see what it is.
Let's see.
Come up, Doug.
I blame Dave because he was here last night saying, remember when you were 7 and you get up and prophesy in front of the church? And I have lots of history here, and I just want to release something over you guys tonight here, but this is a weird one, and that's why I blame Dave, because this is going to be a weird. I'm going to tell you guys a modern-day parable, if you will, okay? So this is a story that's going to be about hockey, but trust me when I say it's all going to come together, and I just want to release something over you guys. So I'll just tell you a little bit of story. So back in 2017, there was a brand new hockey team in the NHL. They were called the Vegas Golden Knights. Brand new hockey team that year. And they were a team of misfits. There were, when they create a new team, they basically take the like okay players from a bunch of other teams and create a new team. Well, this team had 12 extra players on that team that other teams gave money to them or extra things so that they would take these players because the other teams did not want them. Okay? That team was predicted by every single expert to finish last or second last in the league that year because they were a new team full of terrible players. And that year was also marked by tragedy because right before the season started, the city of Las Vegas, whenever we think of it, we think of Sin City and we think of the Strip. But actually, most of Vegas goes to the Strip one time a year when their friends visit and they don't go there. But they are a team that has never had their own professional sports team, other than maybe a CFL team that doesn't really count anyway, okay? But this was the first time that they ever had a team, and 3 weeks before the season started, there was a shooting in Las Vegas, you may remember, and over 40 people lost their lives during a concert on the Strip. And it really impacted this city. And the team, the Vegas Golden Knights, actually in their opening ceremony had a local Vegas resident who played on the team come up and basically speak words of hope, and they raised a banner for all the people who lost their lives there. It was really impactful for the city as this team came together. And the city actually really got behind this team because it was theirs. And they have tourists come in all the time, and they serve the tourists, but this team was theirs. And that year, this team was supposed to be absolutely terrible and finish last or second last. But if you know the story, they didn't. They started winning. And they came under this mantra where they were called the Golden Misfits. It was up in their locker room. It was known as their team that they were the Golden Misfits. And they said, nobody believes in us, but we are going to show them that we are good at hockey. And they were very good at hockey. Against all odds, they actually went and they won their entire division that year, first in the Pacific. And everybody said, all the naysayers, because they were all wrong, you know, and the experts, they said, oh, playoff hockey is different than regular season hockey. Just wait till they get to the playoffs. They get to the playoffs, and they sweep the first round. They sweep the Kings. The second round, they beat the Sharks. In the third round, they're playing the Winnipeg Jets in the conference finals, and they beat the Jets. And in their first year ever, they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. Game one of the Stanley Cup Finals, story for a different day, the owner's son gave us his tickets for the game because they were not supposed to be in the Stanley Cup Finals, so they were supposed to be last or second last, so in the fall, he booked the trip of a lifetime to Comic-Con. So he went to Comic-Con, and we messaged him and said, hey, can you get us tickets, me and my partner Greg, and he said, you can have my tickets, just don't tell anyone. So I tell everyone all the time. He gave us his tickets. So I was there for game one of the Stanley Cup Final. Playing the Washington Capitals, back and forth game. We end up winning 6-5, and it was the most glorious sporting event in my history, as this entire city is full of hope that we are going to win the Stanley Cup Final in our first year. And then game two happened. I was at game two. We were down early. And during the game, nobody had lost hope because we were a really good team, and we came back. And we were down, I think, 3 goals in the third period. Score a goal. We're down 2 goals. There's about 6 minutes left. We score again. We're down 1 goal. There's about 3 minutes left in the game. Vegas is coming down the right side. Perfect pass across the slot. Wide open net. Shoot. The place goes nuts. And then the goal lights don't go. And they replay this moment where the goalie of the other team in desperation just went and dove across the net and his stick. And it was called the save. And it basically, he saved the puck within 2 inches of it going into the goal. And it was in this moment that you could feel the entire atmosphere in the building shift. I don't know if you guys have ever had these moments in your life where you're headed down a direction and it feels like everything is going exactly the way that it's supposed to go. And then something happens and the atmosphere shifts. It was called the save. We ended up losing game two. I say we. They're my team. Game three, it goes back to Washington. They played terribly. They lost that game. Game four happens again in Washington, and they lose again. And now they're down 3-1 in the series. If they lose one more game, they're out. And it was this incredible dream, and it was all these things where everybody was so full of hope. And in this moment, the entire fan base was just despondent because we weren't playing well. All hope was lost. We're down 3-1. And you could just see at that time, like being on Twitter and Facebook, everybody was absolutely hopeless. I was watching the game at home. I was just like kind of devastated. And Greg, who was my partner at the time, and we made a lot of videos online, he texts me and says, "Hey, we need to make a video reminding people this isn't over yet." And when he says, "We need to make a video," it means you need to make a video, I'll be in it. You know, because I did all the work, but it was fine. But he said, "I have music and I have a script, just hear me out." So I said, okay. 9:30 in the morning rolls around, Greg comes into my office, and he puts play on the music and he reads me the script. And in that moment I went, I get it. Let's make this video. It's 9:30 in the morning, by 11 a.m., we've got the video online. Put the video out, 5 shares, 10 shares, 100 shares, 1,000 shares, comment after comment, "You've restored my hope. I believe again. I've watched this video. I believe that we can win." Share upon share upon share, 400,000 views in 4 hours. And then we get an email from the Vegas Golden Knights organization. They said, "This video has been shared around our office. It's changed the atmosphere. Can we use this video as the intro to Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final?" I want to share this video to you because it's a crazy story of two guys. My partner Greg and I, we had this show called Justin and Greg. Greg is a pastor's kid. I grew up in Lifelinks. And the video that was being used for Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final in Sin City is not Beyonce, it's not Shania. It's two guys from their basement in Regina. And there's a message in this video that to me this day is a story of hope. And I just believe prophetically that there's a reminder for some of you today that you've had big things, big dreams. Things aren't looking well for you right now. You've forgotten. You've lost some hope. That there are things that God has promised to you that haven't come to pass. There's things in the past where you're saying, "I know that God heals, but maybe not in my situation. I know that I could be doing this, that faith has been lost." I just want to play a video for you that I feel like is just a prophetic declaration to remind you, are you down and out, or do you believe that God is who he says he is? Is he the God of the impossible? Is he? And he's asking that question tonight. Am I the God of the impossible? And I have moments where I go, yeah, like, yeah, I know that you can do these things, but he's saying tonight, I just feel like there's going to be just an impartation here of just, is he the God who he says he is? Play the video, crank it up.
3, 2, 1. It's night time!
Well, it's over. No team's come back from being down 3-1 in the Cup Final since 1942. Guys, we had a good run. A great run, really. We've got a lot to be proud of.
The best expansion team in sports history.
It was a really special season.
Made some new friends, some great memories, but, you know, better luck next year, right?
It was a lot of fun.
Wait, what? Excuse me? Are you giving up now? Are you just gonna roll over? We're only down 3-1. 3-1 as in not done yet. 3-1 as in you gotta win 4. You know what that means? See you in Game 7. Guess what? We're back to where we've always been. No one believes in us then, and no one believes in us now. And that's fine with me, because you know what else they said? They said, you can't make the playoffs. You guys can't win the division. You can't beat the Kings, the Sharks, the Jets. They said you can't win 3 in a row. Well, guess what? We can. We're here, and it's happening. Yes, we can. So, what are you going to do?
You gonna shake hands? Say better luck next year?
Say thanks for the memories?
Good game, guys. Or
we've got a different idea.
Because the battle is just getting started.
Boston Red Sox, 2004, down 3-0. Never been done. They did it. Tom Brady, 2017, down 25 points. Never been done. He did it. The Cavs down 3-1 in the finals to the Warriors. Never been done. They did it. VGK, 2018. We are doing it. We don't care if you don't believe in us. Has been. Misfits. Nobody's. Rejects. Guess what? We don't. create history.
They lost that game. Oh, thank you. They actually showed that video to the players in the locker room before they took the ice. And there was a moment after this video where the Lord spoke to me and he said, this is going to be a prophetic declaration as a sign for you, because there's going to be moments in your life where you realize that your dreams and your things are gone, and you're going to go back and you're going to watch this video and remember it's not over yet. And the thing about hockey that I love is there's seasons, right? And there's seasons in our life where we think that we've arrived and we're into what God has called us, and sometimes it feels like the rug gets ripped out from under us. And there's seasons in our life where we pray for that person to get healed and they die. And there's seasons in our life where we're standing in faith, believing that somebody is going to come back, and they're not coming back. But guess what? The story ain't over yet, right? And I just feel like God's encouraging you. Am I the God of the impossible? Even when you failed before, are you going to get up and try again? Are you going to continue to look to the future with hope and with faith, believing that I'm still the God of the impossible, even when circumstances and things don't go that way? Golden Knights are still going to win the cup. One of them.
I doubt it. I mean, about the cup part, anyways. Go Vancouver? No. Do you have that kind of passion for your life? And I mean this in the nicest of way. I'm a hockey fan and I love hockey. But it is nothing compared to the kingdom battle that we are in. Do you get up and go, okay, I'm heading out into a kingdom battle today. Let's make the impossible happen. Lord God, I'm going to watch you do impossible things through this vessel today. I don't know, some of you, it's time to abound in hope again. Receive it right now from the Holy Spirit. Will you just raise your hand if you just need a little bit of hope? Father God, right now, Holy Spirit, will you just flush these people with abounding hope? Right now, Father, stir something up inside of them. Stir miracles and a faith for miracles again up inside of them. Father God, miracles in their children. Miracles in the prodigals. Father God, miracles in health. Miracles in business. Miracles in marriages. Receive it. Father God, right now, miracles in finances. Dream again. Believe again. Abound in hope again. The Holy Spirit wants to do something impossible through you, and he wants to do something every day impossible through you. Every day. A fresh start. It's not just about the old, the negative things. There's a fresh start that he wants to do in new and dynamic things. Are you stepping out in faith? Claim it. That's why the Bible says we are taking prisoners of every thought, every emotion, and subduing them into obedience to the Anointed One. The Anointed One in you. The Anointed One who moves through you. So when you think of the future, subdue it. Choose hope. Take captive the thoughts and emotions that aren't obedient to Jesus. Choose to believe in what it is that God says about you. Choose to dig out the old prophetic words. Look at them again. Own it. Claim it. Abound in hope with it again. The word that God has given you will not go to, it will not die unless you let it. Are you abounding? Receive something from the Holy Spirit again tonight. Some of you, you veil through the things that you can't do or the failures that you've had. You call yourself a realist, but is that healthy? Instead of being a realist, why don't you be a theist? See things through God's perspective in your life. I really feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to view the future with a sense of hope, even while going through difficult times, even while knowing that there are difficult times ahead. Some of you have diagnoses right now that don't look good. Some of you have an outlook, a financial outlook that doesn't look good. Some of you have children that it's not looking good for them right now. Man, see things through the Holy Spirit's eyes. Get his perspective. What you see is what you get. Rather than being fearful. And this is not being foolish. This is being faith-filled. Yeah. Believe again. You know, when I got my stage 4 cancer diagnosis, some people thought I was a little bit crazy. When I came back to camp and we were telling them about what it is that the guy had told them, and I was about what the oncologist had shared with me, and I was smiling from ear to ear. Some of you remember that. You're like, oh, it just hasn't sunk in yet, poor fellow. No, I was excited. I honestly was. Some of you were there. Some of you were here. I was like so excited. We know what this thing is now. I've had a misdiagnosis for 3 years. I don't have ankylosing spondylitis. Satan's trying to take me out with 18 tumors. Guess what? We are a people who pray. The tumors don't have a chance. Stage 4 diagnosis. Have you met my God? It was a future that looked grim. I just chose to see through God's perspective instead. When we can face the future with a positive outlook, knowing that God is working a great plan for his good and his glory, that God is a loving Father who will see us through, whether we get what we want or not, shift your perspective just a little bit. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Are you believing that there is some glory that is going to be revealed to you? God wants to show you some new things in the days ahead about him and about yourself. Yeah, difficult times, difficult things, lots of things going on. But man, don't focus on your pain. Don't focus on your persecution. Don't focus on your suffering. We know that God uses all things for good. How are you loving him? How are you moving in your calling according to his purpose? Watch what it is that he'll do with it. You know, Todd Harrison has had a week or two here. I want him to come up and share for a few minutes. We might as well have the father-in-law come up as well. Yeah? Grab the mic there.
Hello? There you go. Yeah, I was so pleased there for a minute. I thought I was totally off the hook. But here I am. Yeah, we've been, I was counting the weeks, it's been 10 weeks of total confusion and storm and chaos in our lives. And just to give you a little bit of a background, for those of you that don't know me, I tend to be fairly independent. I hate to ask people for help. If it's something won't move, I'll just push harder until I break it or I hurt myself. So that's kind of my personality. And the other side is I'm attention deficit, ADHD. I do have a little issue with anxiety, as Ian disclosed last night. So what I really need to make my life happy and fulfilling is a lot of structure and continuity. And so when things aren't going just exactly that way, it's a bit unnerving for me. So it all began like this. It seems simple enough. It's time for us. I felt bad. We accumulated a lot of stuff in 45 years of marriage, and I thought, I can't leave this to my kids, just the cash. They just want the cash. So we said, it's time to downsize, and we're going to do it this time. So it's our third try. So we bought a place that was half the size of the place that we're presently living in. And when we put our place up for sale, the one thing was the fact that we both agreed, I knew that was gone. And we had a six-week delay because we had a misunderstanding with our finance person. And so that put us behind 6 weeks. But when we put up for sale, we got two offers the first day. Second day, it sold for $20,000 more than we were asking. Isn't that God, right? So we're pretty tickled about this. So we're all setting up, and of course, we're looking to where we're going to go. And the next day, we get a notice from an RM where our cottage is, and they say, hey, there's water running out your back door. Your cottage has been flooding out for 3 days. So I thought, maybe I should go to the lake and have a look. So I got in the car, went up there, and I was there for 10 days cleaning up the mess. And then I had to go back for a few days with the inspector to go through the damages and the insurance, and that's a whole other story. Anyway, so that set me back another 2 weeks. So I hope you're counting. So that's 6 and 2, that's 8, right? So then Tim, we were all excited. Tim and Ray were coming home from Panama. We're going to have them for the summer. And they were staying with us for a few days, except his mother sold his bed before he came. Totally forgot. She got on a roll. Downsizing, she sold the bed. So anyhow, I don't think he felt all that welcome. But anyway, Tim comes, he goes to take Zoe out for breakfast because it's her birthday, and he comes back in, long face, he says, Dad, somebody torched your car. Oh, I forgot to share that verse. Some through the fire. I haven't got it quite right. Dave gave it to me. Isaiah 43, you can look it up. When you pass through the waters, they will not over you, and through the fire I will be with you. Okay, this is a story about floods and fires, in case you're wondering. So Tim comes in, long face, says, hey, Dad, we've got some bad news. Somebody torched your car. And so I have to look him straight, because his mother's so gullible. She believes whatever he says, right? And I just looked him in the eye, and I said, Tim, is that true? And he says, Dad, it's true. We went out. And there was our car. Was somebody was breaking. I thought it had a short, and it shorted out and burned up. But it's actually the interior. The seats caught fire, went up into the ceiling, the roof. It's, the visor stuff melted. It was not pretty. Anyway, I have pictures, but we don't have time. But so what we found out later on, though, was actually it was vandalism, because what they do now, they can't smash your windows because they got plastic in them. So they melt them with fireworks. So don't play with fireworks. They put a little hole there, they crack your window, they get in. So somebody was trying to break in our car, screwed up, set our car on fire, total loss. And we loved that car. It was a titanium hybrid, and good time to have a car that's half electric. But I was reminded at the time, everything goes up in smoke eventually. Don't hang on to riches because they grow wings and they fly away, right? The only permanency is the kingdom of God. The only rock is Jesus. So, by the way, that's God too, right? The flood, the fire. It was great. He sold our house, but it was the flood was also. I like to blame him. It was actually me, my fault. But he works everything together for good. And so we were facing, now we had to find a car because, hey, we're going to camp, right? And I was full of faith for about 2 weeks. And about the end of 2 weeks, I'm going, oh, Lord, I'm sure you just need a reminder that we're moving in a couple of weeks and we're going to camp with our granddaughters and our whole Meg's whole family. And anyway, there were 8 cars across the country of Canada that could have replaced our car. And by the time our salesman phoned, they were all gone. So he said to Diane, he said, listen, give me $500. And if a car shows up on the lot, I'll put your name on it. So she gave him $500. The next morning, there was a car. He snapped it before anybody knew it was there. insurance company gave us more for our old car than we paid for it. Hallelujah. I didn't tell him what we paid for it. So for a few thousand dollars more, we got a brand new car, and it was an upgrade. So that's God, right? So moving along, of course, when we're downsizing, we're also renovating. Now, I just tore the floor and the rugs and the stuff out of the cottage to get it dry, lifted the floor, did all that, took off the gems and trim and the trim. And so now I have to go into this new property and I have to do the same thing, only for good this time. I'm pulling out the rugs, baseboards, da-da-da. This takes time. And the problem is time. I don't have time. I'm already 8 weeks behind, right? So I haven't even started to downsize. So we had a big birthday. Diane's mom and dad celebrated their 90th, so we couldn't miss that. So we had to drive back up to the lake, be there for a few days, and then come back. We got 5 days to pack and move. Now, for most of you, that would do it. But for me, not a chance. So Diane had been doing a little. I hadn't done any downsizing. I hadn't done any packing. And I had other things I had to do as well. So for that week, I think I went through a full gamut of every emotion available to the human being. I was angry. I was depressed. I was anxious. And I was lost. I would get up in the morning, go to work. I'd be working well into the evening, go to bed, get up exhausted, go again, day, just push through. I'm independent. I don't ask for help. So fortunately, my wife asked for help. So the good side of the story is that in spite of me, it all got done. It all happened. God sent the right people at the right time to do the job that needed to be done that day and finished. And we finished on time. I pulled an all-nighter, which I haven't done for a long time. Friday night, trying to pack up my garage. Yeah, come on up, Frank. She's anxious. So I do want to tell him about the pin. Is that okay? Tell about the pin. All right. This is really important. We're going to write down these miracles. We've already decided it was a miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. They were big and they were small. And I'm going to tell you this. Don't miss the small. Don't miss the small. Why? They are really personal. So my skin is dry when I'm not taking care of it. My thumbs crack right up the nail. It's really painful. And you know how much you use your thumb? Well, you know, when it hurts, you know, every time. So I usually put super glue in there, and it works. Glues it together. Works real good. But who's going to find the super glue? Everything's packed. Thanks, Deb. Wherever you are, you packed my super glue. I couldn't find it. There she is over there. So I had to go out and get some super glue and more time. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm being really careful because I've used super glue before, and I've ruined 2 of our dining room sets. So you spill it on there, it's toast. You can't get it off. So I've got basically a basket in front of me, and I got some paper under me. And I unscrew the top of this super glue, and I look at it, and I say, oh, my gosh, I need a pin to poke the super glue. I don't have a pin. Where am I going to find a pin in all this chaos? No chance. It's literally a needle in a haystack. Literally a needle in a haystack. I look down, and I see this little bead looks like a pearl. My gosh, it is the end of a pin. I am not kidding you. That's just one example of several things like that where God shows up. He says, I know who you are. And even though you're being a bad boy right now, I love you. I'm looking after you. and loves you. He loves me. He loves you. Don't forget the pin.
You know, I remember one point in my diagnosis, right before my diagnosis, when the kids were out of town and I had a back flare up. I was completely racked. My back was convulsing and gripping around my vertebrae. I didn't realize it at the time that one tumor was eating into my L2 vertebrae. And so my muscles were freaking out about this as that thing dug into the back. And at one point, I couldn't wait any longer. I was by myself and in my bed, and I literally couldn't move. I could barely breathe. I don't know if any of you have ever had back pain before, but I literally couldn't even breathe. And I remember standing up to go to the bathroom, and it literally, a complete body convulsion came over me, and I hit the ground, hit the wall on the way down, was laying on the floor, completely gripped with pain. And I remember just pausing and going, okay, God, what do you want to do? Which is kind of weird. Pain tends to make us look into ourselves and be a little bit selfish, where we should curse God and die at that point. But I just decided, you know what? What if we just went, okay, God, what do you want to do through this suffering? I got this little nudge that said, why don't you call your neighbor Adam and invite him into your suffering? Dug my phone out, called up Adam. He got me up, took me to the toilet. You become fairly intimate with somebody when he helps you pull down your pants. It's kind of cool. David got a great shot of Adam and I standing arm in arm. He's now one of my closest friends. He serves as an elder in the church now. What a gift that suffering brought into my life. Don't forget that when you're in the midst of suffering, to look to God and say, what do you want to do in this, God? There will always be suffering. There will always be adversity. There will always be difficulties for Jesus' followers. He promised it to us. In fact, if there isn't those things in your life, you should wonder if you're saved. Honestly. So the third question I have for you tonight is, what do you see in this moment? What are you focused on now? Why are you here at this camp? What is it that you're looking to experience at camp? See, Jesus reminds us that we need to be alert for what it is that the Spirit of God is doing in any given moment. That He can materialize in our lives at any given moment if we are looking, if we have God's perspective on what it is that He's doing in the here and now. In Matthew 24, you guys know this, Jesus tells us to keep watch because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and he would have not let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready. Why? Because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. This text has always been used for an admonishment for us to be alert to the second coming of Christ. But what if it is also something else? What if Jesus is telling us to stay alert in the moment? Are you alert, looking for what the Lord God is doing in the now? That perhaps the Holy Spirit is coming on you in any given moment, or He's making you aware of something at any given moment? Are you watching for what it is that He's doing? Are you alert? If we're not awake and alert, we will miss the moments when God wants to show up in our lives in the here and now. God loves to intersect with us in order to bring heaven to earth. And while you are here over the next few days, will you just invite the Holy Spirit to make you aware of what it is that you're called to do while you're here. Pray unceasingly. Let the goodness of God pour over you and pour over others in practical ways while you're here. Ask God for words of knowledge. Ask God for words of wisdom. Ask God for encouraging words. When you're standing in line, don't just ask about what it is that's been going on. Lay hands on them and prophesy over them. Be alert to what it is that the Holy Spirit is doing. But if we're not awake, man, we'll miss God's presence in our lives and others will miss out too. You know, my son Alec, who came back, had this really cool opportunity where he was ministering, what was the name of the tribe? The Kandoshi tribe. Ministering to this Kandoshi tribe, and he ended up striking up a bit of a relationship with the chief of the village, and the chief of the village wanted to give him an honor, and so the chief of the village gave him his spear. Handed him this spear, a 3-4 foot long spear. It's quite an honor. All of the kids are freaking out because this amazing thing has happened. They're cheering and they're so excited because the chief has given him this spear. So Alec, the next day, takes a bunch of kids and they're running through the jungle, excited. Alec's got the spear and he's feeling tough. He runs along. All of a sudden, he just becomes very aware of something is off. And he looks down and there's this little pile on the ground. And he looks down and he realizes, what the heck is that? And he digs out the spear and he pokes it. And he realizes it's a snake. So he lifts it up. It's only like this big, so it's not a big deal, right? We have garter snakes all over the place in North America. And so he grabs the thing and he lifts it up and he's like, ooh, showing it to the kids. And they're like, ooh, what did they say? What was the word? Juju or? Gigi. Ooh, Gigi, 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 Gigi. He's like, yeah, no, a little snake, you got it here. Ooh, Gigi, Gigi. He's like, ah, whatever. Throws it down, whacks it, cuts it the head off. Not a big deal. Finds out talking to the tribesmen later on, this was a common lancehead snake. It's a pit viper. It only grows to be about that big. It kills more people in their village than anything else. And he's like, I think we spend far too much time thinking about the evils that are in our life. You have been given a weapon. It's called the Word of God. Just cut off the head of the snake and move on. Don't give it thought. Don't give it mention. Have a wonderfully blissful ignorance of evil, so much so that the power that God has placed in you can deal with it like that. Some of you need to take up the weapon again. You haven't been spending enough time with it. The Word of God is a sword and it is powerful. Use it. Especially in times of suffering. Invite God into it. Claim some verses. Speak them into your life. Do some warfare with it. Realize that you're dangerous. Again. Like Paul, Timothy reminded Timothy, we must often be reminded to be self-disciplined in using our gifts. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, of self-discipline, and then with urgency and immediacy, I tell you now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. I think you guys, I think sometimes we forget that sometimes the self-discipline that we need to engage ourselves in is actually with the gift. What is the gift that you've been given? And are you being self-disciplined to use it regularly? Are you? It is a weapon. Use it. Fan it into flames. man, during your time that's here, like we said, we are a charismatic people. How come we don't act like it sometimes? Come on. Yeah. Abound in hope again. Yes. Abound. Fan into flame the gift. Use it. Yes. Fire it up again while you're here. You know, this last verse, that 2 Corinthians verse, I always thought it meant that today is the day that you should ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And it does mean that, but it means a whole lot more. This is a day to experience the fullness of God's presence in your life today. This is the day to experience the fullness of God's power in your life today. The fullness of your salvation that is available to you through Christ is available today. Experience the favor. Abound in hope again. As we practice being in his presence, practice in abiding in him. Man, be obedient to his leadings. Be alert to what it is that the Holy Spirit wants to do. Be aware. Thank God Alex stopped and was just aware that he sees this balled up little thing that looks, he described it as a pile of leaves when he stopped, but it was in the wrong place. Be alert of what it is that's going around. The little kids who were running after him probably would have been bitten and died. They're 26 hours away from help. A kid would have died. Just be alert. I want to encourage some of you. Some of you have either let the power die out a little bit, or maybe you've never experienced a full infilling of the Holy Spirit and haven't experienced his power before. If you're hoping that someday down the line, God is going to show up in your life and fill you with his power, today is the day of God's favor. Today is the day. Today you can be filled to live the life that he wants you to live. You can experience his power. You can move in his power. You can share his power with others. I want to invite Corey up. What you see is what you get. So what do you see? Now, more than ever, in this new world that we are in, we have to be a people of God's perspective. Yes. People who see reality as God sees it. Yes. Not as the world sees, but as the Holy Spirit sees. A kingdom people with a kingdom perspective. When we look at the past, the temptation is to only see heartbreak. When we look into the future, we just think, it'll never work. I've tried that before. I can't do it again. But adjust your focus. Choose to see the light. God sees mercy. God sees grace. God sees forgiveness. God sees his goodness that he wants to wipe all over you. See God's hand at work in your life in the past. Remember the things that he does. Look to the future again with a hope, an abounding hope. And then be alert in the here and now. Be alert to what it is that the Holy Spirit wants to do. God sees your future and it is bright. It is one that will be filled with light. I'm not saying there isn't going to be suffering. There will be suffering, and you're going to, in the future, invite God into it and watch what he will do through it. It's one of the baptisms that he promises us. His favor and goodness will follow you throughout your life in every situation. When God sees today, he sees an opportunity to fill your life with his presence, to experience his power, to celebrate the day that he has made and encourage others in it. And walk in it. Again. The Holy Spirit's power, the Holy Spirit's perspective. See, the eye is the lamp of the body, Jesus said. And when your eyes are good, when you see as you should see, your life is filled with life, and that's what it is that God wants for you. Some people need to spend just a little bit of time in their seats repenting. And And then quickly, we need to shift into celebrating what it is that God has done. And then there needs to be a time where you step out in faith, you abound in hope, and you begin to move where it is that the Holy Spirit is asking you to move. What you see is what you get. What God sees is what you get. See with His perspective. Be alert. Watch what it is that He might do. If you've let some darkness into your life, if you've let the bear dig in your garbage for a little while, I want to invite you, spend a few moments as we sing a little bit here, spend a few moments just repenting, but don't stay there too long. Then get to a place where you begin to celebrate what it is that God has done. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind some of the things that He's done in the past, and then be alert for what it is that He wants to do in the here and now. Is that cool?